Curious. How are you?
Is there? There's a little remote pointer. Should be around somewhere.
Previous.
It's usually right here. Cause the little dongle thing is there.
Oh, here. Did you find it?
So what's that? Problem is that, yeah, problem is you can't see it on the screen. Peers into the LED.
Well, it was.
They're both up right now, but.
The second one seems to be. Are we ready to roll? I think there'll be a presentation.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. We'll call to order this regular session of the Springfield Planning Commission. If you'll all rise with me and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Any adjustments to the agenda this evening, staff? No? All right. We have business from the audience. This is not related to either of the quasi-judicial hearings we're having tonight. Do we have anyone that wishes to address the Planning Commission? Hearing none, we'll move on. Okay, we have tonight a quasi-judicial hearing. This is a continuation of a hearing that was held on January 24th. This is a request for Metro Plan Diagram Amendment and Zone Change for a 7.1-acre property on High Banks Road. Case numbers are TYP 416-00003 and TYP 316-00005. On January 24th, the Commission closed the public hearing on this application, but we did extend the written record until 5 p.m. on January 31st. So the proceedings tonight are basically a brief summary from staff and additional submitted information. And then deliberations by the Planning Commission. So with that, I'll turn it over to Andy, and we'll begin the process.
Okay. Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. The matter before you this evening is for a Metro Plan Amendment and Zone Change for property off High Banks Road. And commissioners will recall that staff had requested that the written record be extended for submittal of additional information. Specifically, the addition of findings for transportation, potential transportation impacts that was related to Goldwell. The applicant and their transportation engineer did provide testimony at the meeting. They submitted a report into the record at that time, and to allow opportunity for both commissioners and staff to review and confirm the findings, we requested the additional written record for 1 week, be extended for 1 week. There were no other submittals during that time by the public or the applicant, aside from what you find in attachment 4 to your staff report. And the city's transportation planning engineer did review the findings and does concur, and provided a brief memo email that I attached into the staff report. into your attachment number four, just to confirm that staff has reviewed and concurred with the findings. So, in summary, the recommendations before you are for support for these applications, the Metro Plan Diagram Amendment, the Zoning Map Amendment, and the recommendations of the Planning Commission would be brought forward to the City Council at a scheduled public hearing on February 21st. So that concludes staff's summary, and I'd be happy to answer any other questions.
Any questions, commissioners, for staff? Hearing none? Thank you, Andy. All right, so at this time, we certainly will entertain any deliberation or discussion that the Planning Commission has in relation to either the zone change or the amendment to the Metro Plan. Any dialogue? Okay, so I would certainly entertain a motion. Should you be interested?
I will move to forward a recommendation to the City Council to approve TYP 416-00003 JRW Associates application on behalf of the LDS Church for a Type 1 amendment to the Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan Diagram to redesignate an approximately 7.1 acre parcel identified as Assessor's Map 17-02-28-00, tax lot 2406, from low density residential to light medium industrial, because the application meets the applicable criteria of approval.
To be clear, then, is that motion not including the condition recommended regarding the transportation trip cap?
You can revise your recommendation to reflect the trip cap, the staff's recommendation for trip cap. Would you like to revise your
all right, motion? Including conditions of approval contained in the staff report and findings, except for or in addition to the condition that approval of the additional information regarding compliance with Goal 12.
Okay. Can I get us there?
I think the except for is going to not wash. It's the first part that he said, that with the condition of approval adds the transportation exception of the low-density residential traffic flow.
Okay. So there's a motion on the floor. Commissioner Bowes, you can revise that motion to reflect staff's conditions related to the trip cap. I think that's what legal counsel is saying. Is that what you wish to do?
Is that the amendment that you're referring to?
Sorry, to clarify on the pre-written motions, that second bracketed section under the second bullet point, that's an except for or in addition to, depending on how you're modifying the conditions that are contained
that's
in the staff report.
That's
so I think it was read both of those. So just to clarify,
okay,
that's
okay.
The conditions of the staff report,
okay,
in addition to
we
the trip cap.
Delete except for in addition to the conditions.
Okay. All right. So the motion is on the floor. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. So we have, it's been moved by Commissioner Vose, seconded by Commissioner Cuevilla to forward a recommendation to City Council to approve TYP 416-0003, et cetera, with the conditions of approval as stated. And that motion is on the floor. Any dialogue? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries 6 ayes and 1 absent. Okay? All right. Second item of business tonight is a quasi-judicial hearing related to We have one more action item on this one. This is the amendment to the zoning map and rezoning of approximately 7.1 acres from LDR to LMI. Do I hear a motion? Okay. Commissioner Landon.
Move to forward a recommendation to the City Council to approve TYP 316-00005, JWR Associates application on behalf of the LDS Church to rezone an approximately 7.1 acre parcel identified as Assessor's Map 17-02-28-00, Tax Lot 406, from low density residential to light medium industrial, with the conditions of approval containing the staff report and findings.
Okay. Motion on the floor. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. I believe that Commissioner Dunn was the second on that action. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 6 ayes and 1 absent. Okay. Now we are on to our second action item. This is a quasi-judicial hearing, request for zoning map amendment approval on property located at 5892 Main Street and an adjacent parcel. This is TYP 316-00004. And Phil Farrington will be presenting for staff tonight.
Good evening, Chairman James, Commissioners. Philip Farrington, I'm the project review planner on a proposed zone change by Lisa and Scott Robbins, with Michael Reeder representing on their behalf. He is here tonight. This is concerning two tax lots, 510 and 511, on Assessor's Map 1702-3432 in the Thurston area depicted on the screen up above you. I'm going to go through a couple of slides just to orient you to the location. The site is along Main Street, between Main and South, and North A Street, or A Street, south of Thurston High School, east of 58th, and across the street from 59th Street, where it terminates into Main. The existing building was constructed in 1981. Roughly 8,800 square feet of existing space that was developed with adjacent parking north of it, fronting onto A Street. Currently, the parking area along A is has a rolling gate, so they can control access on it.
Okay, Phil, can I stop you for a moment? Does legal counsel is going to brief us quickly on quasi-judicial? If you'll just hold for a moment, and the commission will declare any potential conflicts of interest or good disclosure of ex parte communication. Let's turn it over to our legal counsel.
So the hearing tonight is characterized as a quasi-judicial hearing. Is this mic on? Is it okay? Quasi-judicial means that certain due process procedural rights are associated with the decision-making process. These rights include the rights to notice, to present evidence, to have a written decision based upon standards, and to an impartial decision-maker. The primary purpose of this hearing is to establish a record upon which a decision can be made. The evidentiary rules associated with these hearings are less restrictive than used in circuit courts, and all relevant testimony, including hearsay, may be considered. Please note that you must raise procedural and substantive issues at this hearing, or you will be prohibited from raising those issues subsequently on appeal before the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals. You could also raise issues before the City Council. No, you can't, because this is not going to City Council. Disregard that. You must raise them tonight. A person raising the issue must support raising the issue with statements or evidence sufficiently specific so that the Planning Commission has an opportunity to respond to the concern or the issue. If you are the applicant, you must raise concerns regarding any proposed conditions of approval to preserve your right to appeal and or to seek damages in circuit court. Failure to raise constitutional or other issues pertaining to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the Planning Commission to respond to these issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court. In a quasi-judicial decision-making process, the burden is on the applicant to show by preponderance of the evidence that all applicable criteria of approval have been met. The criteria are posted in the wall. behind the Planning Commission. They are outlined in the staff report, and they are, will be summarized by staff in their presentation. The record in this matter consists of the application and all supporting information, any staff report and its supporting documents, and any and all testimony and documentary evidence admitted during the hearing. If you want an item entered into the record, present that item to the planning secretary orally or in writing. If there's any question in your mind whether any material is in the record, please make a point of asking that it be accepted into the record. By statute, you have the right to request that the record be held open for 7 days. You do not have to give a reason for the request, but you must make this request before the hearing is closed. If new evidence is introduced while the record is left open for 7 days, the record may be held open for an additional period of time to allow other parties an opportunity to respond to new evidence. You also have the right to request a continuance of the hearing. A continuance is discretionary with the Planning Commission. The party requesting it must show that prejudice to his or her rights will not be cured by merely holding the record open. This hearing is recorded on tape, so I ask that anyone who wishes to testify follow a few procedures. First, please testify from the podium where staff is currently standing, not from the citizens' benches. Second, begin your testimony by stating your name and your address for the record. This enables the Planning Secretary and the Planning Commission to identify the testimony offered by speaker and assists in creating a transcript of this hearing if necessary. Finally, if you want a copy of the written decision by the Planning Commission, please provide your name and address to the Planning Secretary. The Planning Commission will issue a written decision after the record is closed. The Planning Commission's decision is final. Any person who participated in the hearing may appeal the Planning Commission's decision to the Land Use Board of Appeals. Please consult an attorney regarding the deadline for appeal and the form of appeal. Oregon Land Use Law, sorry, any person who participated in this hearing may appeal the Planning Commission's decision to the City Council. Please consult an attorney regarding the deadline for that appeal and the form. Oregon Land Use Law requires that the Planning Commission disclose any ex parte conflicts, contacts, or conflicts of interest related to this matter, and allow any person to challenge the Planning Commissioners for bias. Generally, a conflict of interest involves a situation where the decision maker, his or her family or business, would benefit or suffer by his or her decision. An ex parte contact is a communication to the decision maker that includes substantive issues regarding the application and occurs outside of the public venue. Okay. Commissioner James, it's appropriate now to open the hearing.
Okay. So now we'll open the public hearing. Commissioners, any declarations of potential conflicts of interest?
None.
Any ex parte communications or contact to declare?
No.
None. Okay. That being said, back to you.
Okay. So I've shown you a couple of slides just to orient you on the location, address at 5892 Main Street. Previously, about 4 years ago, the parcel immediately to the west, about 1.95 acres, was rezoned similarly from general office to neighborhood commercial. It's depicted there, formerly a Liberty Bank building, now I believe a dental clinic. And some still undeveloped property between Main and A Street. The subject property is a multi-tenant space. I believe the rationale for the request is to allow for a greater palette of uses that are allowed within the neighborhood commercial zone as opposed to general office, to allow for a more effective means of leasing up the space. There's a number of the multi-tenant spaces that are currently unoccupied. The criteria before you, behind you on the wall and included in the findings and narrative in the staff report, have been met. Those findings, both presented by the applicant's representative and supplemented by staff, I believe, demonstrate that the proposal meets the relevant applicable criteria. The neighborhood commercial zone and the general office zone both implement the MDR metro plan designation. That's why you have before you only a zone change and not also a plan diagram amendment. I guess I'm going to really go ahead and leave it open for questions that you may have, because I believe the materials that were presented in your packet may be self-explanatory otherwise, to demonstrate the conformance with the applicable criteria.
Okay. Yes.
I have a question for staff. The package was very well put together, and all the the criteria are, do appear to be well addressed. My only concern would be for traffic impacts for this rezone. And being that the property is currently being used as office and commercial, it doesn't look as if there'd be too much of a traffic impact. Would that be a good assumption?
Yeah, I believe our transportation planning engineer had concluded really that there would likely be no need for any other traffic impact analysis.
Okay.
If there was, let's say, some new development that would occupy the, you know, parking area that's along A Street, a new building or redevelopment or expansion of the existing building, you know, vertically or in some other fashion, or significant changes in some sort of usage from what's currently occupying the site, that may be evaluated through our site plan review process. But right now, and I think is included in the materials before you, there's provisions in state law that, unlike your earlier review of the plan amendment and zone change, this type of a use where there's a request for a change in zoning that's consistent with the metro plan diagram doesn't trigger those transportation planning rule requirements and the analysis that would be attended to that.
Yeah, Mike, like I said, you know, being that A Street is not, it's not signal controlled at 58th,
mm-hmm.
It's already pretty well used.
Mm-hmm.
And then Main Street, that would be ODOT controlled, would it, for additional access?
It is.
Okay.
So any kind of change to that driveway is going to require miscellaneous or approach permit approvals from ODOT.
Okay.
Since they control that access.
Thank you.
Good. Okay. All right. That's good for the moment. We'll hear testimony now from the applicant.
Good evening, Chair James. My name is Mike Reeder. I'm with the law firm Arnold Gallagher in Eugene, 800 Willamette Street, Suite 800. Thank you for being here and volunteering your time tonight. Thank you, Phil, for your very well put together staff report. Staff report was actually better than our application material, so you have a great planner here with the city of Springfield. You should be thankful. You stole them from the private sector.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So I don't thank you for that, but I do thank you for your time. As was stated, I represent the owners, Scott and Lisa Robbins. They've owned the property. They have taken great care of the property. Unfortunately, there's some space that is vacant. It's difficult to market this space right now with its current zoning. The neighborhood commercial zone is a more appropriate zone and hopefully we'll be able to lease out that vacant space with the additional uses that are allowed in the neighborhood commercial zone. For example, one example would be a bakery. There's been some interest for this property for that use. We don't know for sure if that's what's going to happen, but the neighborhood commercial zone does allow a greater variety of uses. A few years ago, as was mentioned by Philip, there was a zone change. You may, I think some of you were on the Planning Commission at that time for the Amigos 3 LLC zone change to the west that included the old Liberty Bank property. This is a very similar application to that application. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Questions, commissioners? Not at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Any additional testimony in support? Any testimony in opposition? Okay. I don't know that we need a summation by staff. I think the commissioners need additional information from staff. Okay. All right, no additional information, and so no need for rebuttal by the applicant. So at this time, we have a public hearing that's open, and we have a written record that's open. And at this time, it would be appropriate to make those motions to either for a continuation or closure of the written record and the public hearing.
I'd make a motion to close the written record.
Can we close the hearing?
The hearing first.
Close the public hearing.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, so it's been moved by Commissioner Cuevas, seconded by Commissioner Vos to close the public hearing at this time. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, now we would entertain a motion to close the written record or for a continuation of the written record.
I move that we close the written record at this time.
Second.
Okay, moved by Commissioner Vos, seconded by Commissioner Landon to close the written record at this time. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, written record and the hearing are both closed at this time. Any further questions or issues related to this motion before us, or this action before us? Hearing none, I would certainly entertain a motion.
I'd move to approve TYP 316-00004, Michael Reeder's application on behalf of Scott B. and Linda C. Robbins to rezone approximately 0.85 acres at 5892 Main Street, identified as Assessor's Map 17-023432, tax lots 510 and 511 from general office to neighborhood commercial, with the conditions of approval contained in the staff report and findings.
Okay. Motion on the floor. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. So it was moved by Commissioner Cuevas, seconded by Commissioner Sherwood. That's your first second, isn't it?
I think so.
All right. To approve TYP 316-00004, Michael Reeder's application on behalf of Scott B. and Linda C. Robbins to rezone approximately 0.85 acres at 5892 Main Street, identified as Assessor's Map 17-02-34-32, tax lots 510 and 511 from General Office to Neighborhood Commercial with conditions of approval contained in the staff report and findings. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. 6 in favor and 1 absent. Okay. All right. Reports on council action. Hearing none. Any other business from the Planning Commission or business from the Development and Public Works Director?
Well, she's not here.
Or her. Let's see. What have we named you last
night?
The bailiff. That's it. Okay. Is it okay if I put that on my business?
Yeah.
I just wanted, it's sort of a report from last night.
Yes.
Just as a point of information, the City Council approved a work project to update the development code. And they had two options for updating and then a third do-nothing option. And they selected the first option, which was a complete in this term to tonight's update.
What do you think about that, Mike?
So we're going to go back to the council soon and discuss some of the discuss in more detail some of the options that they could pursue in terms of the format of the code and the information that's included in the code, how they wanted to organize that sort of thing.
and then a proposed budget as well. Pretty much a timeline to perform the work. And assuming that they say, okay, go forward with it, there'll be an interlude before we come to the Planning Commission as a CCI with a recommendation for the citizen participation plan for it. It'll be quite extensive, and I'm sure it'll be of interest to you, not just to review it, but also consider how the community will be plugged into the effort, how the Planning Commission will be, the makeup of support groups for technical advisory committees, that sort of thing.
Excellent.
And the kind of schedule of reporting of progress, that sort of thing. And I would guess you'd probably see that, assuming the council says, okay, the budget's good, the work program, or you know, the timeline is good, they will direct us to incorporate that into the upcoming budget, and that will go before the budget committee sometime in March or April, and then they'll go to the council in June. So we would probably reserve going to the Planning Commission until we're certain that the budget gets adopted, but it'll be shortly after that we'd come with the citizen participation plan.
Okay. Commissioner Landon?
Was there a sense of what City Council was after in this, in the redesign?
They each took turns describing what they hoped to accomplish. Several of them came back and had some additional information, but yes, let's see. In summary, I would say they want this code to be an expression of the council's guiding principles about the future of the community. They want this thing, this document, whatever form it takes, to be readily accessible to anybody. And by accessible, I mean they can understand what's in it, and they can navigate through it to find whatever information they need. They want it to also I would say, something between a contract and a sort of surety that this community welcomes anybody who moves here and wants to start up a business here and wants to develop property here, and that will make every effort to make that easy interaction between the city and the property owner or the developer and his agents. That it also be flexible with respect to opportunities that may present themselves that aren't anticipated by the code, and also to be flexible with respect to subsequent amendment of the code. Frequently, we don't have a choice, and we have to make changes because of new legislation or rulemaking, federal law, court decisions sometime. So they want to make sure that the process of change and amendment that has occurred over the last 30 years and has resulted in the code shape today, that we do whatever it takes to prevent a repeat of that. And as a matter of fact, several of them said it's not necessary to reinvent the wheel, but they don't want any flat tires coming into this particular code. So there may be quite a bit of the existing code that can be preserved, maybe and presented in a different way than it is now. But don't bring anything forward that's a sort of an albatross and is not consistent with the council's vision, but either our customer relations with the community or with what gets built on the ground.
Couple of questions. You mentioned 30 years. Is that about how long it's been since the code's been?
It was adopted in 87.
Okay.
And we were going to do a pretty significant update in 97. And we were into that a number of years and then couldn't complete it. We were extremely busy here. The council leadership was in evolution, and we couldn't afford to dedicate the staff to that, and were sort of instructed to complete what was necessary to have the code reorganized so that it was, it's ironic, you know, when you think about it, but reorganized so it was easier to read and find things. So we did. We went from a 31 or 32 chapter code to 6 chapters. So it was a lot of condensation and organizational change to it. But almost all of the standards remained the same. All of the additions that were going to occur for the sake of clarity and to make it less, if there, it's almost unavoidable to have some ambiguity in a code. And it's pretty easy to not discover some language that's almost contradictory or at odds. But we were finding all those, and we were keeping track of that. We were going to do that kind of a, it was more than just Scrivener error sort of thing. It was more substantial. Just couldn't get to it all. So.
And one more question. You talk about staff time and their involvement in this, and of course staff are integral to this, as well as the public input throughout the process. Is the vision to, I mean, do you hire someone to come in for a period of time to assist staff with this? Is it project specific? Like, you know, agencies will hire someone specific to a bond measure to move a process forward, knowing that in 2 years that position is going to go away. Is that more conducive to staff inclusion than having a consultant or some other outside resource come in?
Well, our thinking right now is that we will probably appoint the staff that's here now to do the project and backfill with planners for that duration, if it's 2 years or if it's 3 years. That's currently our thinking, and that would certainly, unless something happens between now and when we go back to the council, that's what we will recommend that the council do. There's some wonderful consultants out there that are very skilled and very knowledgeable, and we've had extensive involvement with consultants. And a good deal of reliance on them. You recently, I believe, saw some of the work they did for, consultants did for downtown design standards. But, you know, it's easier to maintain control, to be able to address any emergencies that come up, any rescheduling that needs to happen, if it's in-house staff that's performing the work, then if it's consultants who are doing it. We absorb additional costs with consultants. You don't. You have to pay for the additional costs.
Sure.
And obviously, when our staff are performing the work, they have that immediate connection, the work they're performing and who they're performing it for, as opposed to consultants who do not have that. So that's how we want to go forward with this.
Other questions?
Commissioner Quevel. In Commissioner James and my work on the Development Advisory Committee, there was a considerable desire for a ministerial checklist form of approval for development. And staff informed us that there was a considerable rewrite for the code that would be needed to implement that. Is going towards that goal, was that part of council's direction?
Well, I believe that it was certainly in the spirit of their comments that the mayor said specifically that she didn't want anybody to be discouraged because of the process that they would have to go through in order to develop in the city of Springfield. And so we need to address process directly. And whether or not it's we see a complete revision of our current approach in business practice, or whether some of it's preserved and some of it's amended, that will be that'll be an evolving discussion. But certainly, to the extent that the council says specifically what they want to see in that part of the regulation, then that's what we'll undertake. There are certain requirements in the law that have to be observed. So the law does make a distinction between administrative or ministerial approvals versus limited land use decisions and quasi-judicial, and that we have to follow those. There's no way around that. There's not a new discretion that the statute provides that doesn't currently exist. Everything that we can do is present in one way or another in the existing rules and statutes. So, but what the activities that are subject to those review processes, there's some discretion about what those would be. Certainly in things that don't qualify under the traditional actions, such as annexation, which is directed by statute, zone changes, which are directed by statute, plan amendments, code amendments, that sort of thing. But there's this subcategory of process that we're involved with that, depending upon the way we define the activity and what the requirements are of that activity, there's quite a bit of latitude that we can probably provide a number of options.
Just to follow up, the Development Advisory Committee will be presenting to the City Council, I believe, at their next Monday. So, and that's 4 years of work related to the ministerial review process and streamlining processes for businesses to be able to move through the process a little more expeditiously, but still within the confines of statutory requirements. So,
as I recall, the DAC recommended a code update.
That's one of the things that, right. Because I served on the DAC from day one, and that was one of the things that we bumped our heads on quite frequently, was you can't do that, it's going to take a rewrite to be able to get there. And so one of the recommendations coming forward, there are some incremental steps but then one of the recommendations is, please take a look at a rewrite of the code. And so that'll be good supportive information for the city council. Because there are some good, there were some really good thinkers on, in that group, good group.
And there's going to be quite a few people who are very pleased to see these steps.
So, okay.
Not the least of which being the staff.
Yeah. Yes.
By your description, it sounds like this is going to be primarily a technical project. How is public participation going to be fused into the process? Or is that determined yet?
It has to be meaningful participation or it violates Goal 1. So we will, the people who try and address all of these issues in that citizen involvement plan, I shouldn't say we'll try, they will. I think it's such a big project that we're going to have to create something quite in advance of some of the plans that you've seen in the past, probably that you've ever seen, because nothing else. So, it's sort of, it's almost cliche that there's a interested stakeholders group that meets once a month or whatever it happens to be. But the true measure of the effectiveness of this thing is if the participants have a role that actually results in their recommendations being included in what goes before the Planning Commission and the City Council in the end. So maybe the guidelines that the DAC was operating under, you won't see that same sort of an arrangement with this, I guess. Sort of, there won't be any kind of, this is a complete rewrite, so nothing is really off limits.
Okay. Other questions? Okay. Hearing none, we stand adjourned.